Hello, everyone. Only three weeks to go, Sam. The clock is ticking. It's time to start locking in your first drafts. And that's what this video is all about. Welcome back to the FPL family YouTube channel. If this is the first time you're here, first time you're with us, maybe this is our ninth season. We've been here ages, guys. Where you been? Where you been? We've been here 9 years. But if it's your first time tuning into FPL family, welcome, welcome, like, subscribe, all that sort of good stuff. But for those of you that have been with us for a while, you'll know that we get stuck into each other's drafts. I wouldn't say savagely. That's probably the wrong word.
I mean, you probably will be savage.
I wouldn't say savagely, but there are a couple of questionable picks in your draft a bit later on that I do need to discuss with you. There's a couple in there that I'm a bit like, what are you thinking?
I mean, I've got some issues with yours as well, if you want to go there.
Well, I'm fine with that because we're at the point of the season, guys. It's still 3 weeks to go. I want your feedback. I want your feedback. Guys, get in the comments.
I don't know if I want to help you. I might tell you the bad picks are good.
Well, I'm already one in the world. I don't know if you noticed the graphic, but I'm already like, you know.
I mean, everyone's one in the world, right now.
So congratulations on your rank. So get in the comments, guys. Let us know your feedback on our drafts and what you think. Who do you want to go first? You or me?
You go first because mine is my second draft because I've already obviously put mine out on the official podcast. So I've done an update especially for you guys here. So let's start with yours.
Okay.
Because yours is actually your first draft.
I feel like mine is a bit
rubbish.
It's a bit template. It's a little bit boring, but guys, let us know what you think. Let us know what you think. This is my draft as it is so far. I don't know whether I've got a bit caught up in the DEFCON stuff.
The hype.
Like at the minute.
Is the DEFCON hype real?
Well, the FPL community is all about the DEFCON right now. We're all talking about the defensive contributions. And if you don't know what we're talking about when it comes to defensive contributions, big changes in the game. Go back and have a look at the video. Last video we did on the channel maybe a week or so ago where we talk about that. We talk about the extra chips you're going to get this year. We talk about the extra transfers you're going to get around the African Cup of Nations in the new year. So lots of changes in FPL this year. Go back and watch that video. But now that you've watched that video, DEFCON, defensive contributions, absolutely a thing. And they are changing the mindset of the FPL manager. Before you get stuck into my team, because I do want to hear what you think about this team, do you think that the whole DEFCON thing is, it's definitely got people talking about players that we haven't talked about previously, isn't it?
Do you know what? It's funny because as you were talking, I was thinking, is there a hype? And then I thought, do you know what? There really is. Because.
Yes.
And do you know the reason I know this, Lee, is because this morning I wake up to a message in the Fantasy Football Scout Slack channel.
Yes.
From Tom, who you'll have seen me do a lot of videos with before, going, oh, guys, just so you know, Max Kilman and Wan-Bissaka would have got DEFCON points for their friendly yesterday.
Nice.
And I was like,
I'm here for it.
Is this where we are? We're watching friendly matches and we're counting clearances, blocks, interceptions, tackles.
Sam, I love that from Tom because that is...
That's where we are.
He's already thinking about the narrative for next season. We will be on Sky. We'll be doing our videos on a Sunday night.
We will.
And we'll be saying DEFCON points, DEFCON points. How many clearances, blocks, interceptions and tackles? How was he on the CBIT rating? That's going to be a thing. This is the new season. This is new FPL.
I sigh, but actually I love the defensive contribution stuff. I think they're really good.
Absolutely.
So I'm not surprised to see a number of players that ranked highly on DEFCON last season appearing in your first draft. That doesn't surprise me. The likes of Virgil, the likes of Murillo. I've had to get my phone out to look at your team because I actually can't see them.
Oh, sorry, it's screens too far away.
So I've got. So if I keep looking down, that's why I'm looking at Lee's team also.
What do you make of Virgil then? Because I think if we were sitting there a couple of weeks ago, or even before the game got launched, obviously, but you know, in a pre-DEFCON world. I'm looking at Frimpong and I'm looking at Kirkez, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think of the two, I was fully prepared to come on here and do all the pre-season videos and talk about the fact that, well, don't sleep on Connor Bradley. So do you want to get involved with the Frimpong thing? Because I think Connor's had a really good pre-season.
And a good end to last season.
And he's looked good in training. So I was fully prepared to come on in and say, well, Kirkez is my pick. He's the one to go to. Robbo is there. Tsimikas is there. But I think Kirkez is kind of the one to go. But with DEFCON now as a thing, in a post-DEFCON world, I'm like, well...
The thing is, it's not like Kirkez did badly for DEFCON last season.
Absolutely true.
So,
yes.
But I mean, you'll see with my second draft when we get to it in a minute, I've had some slight changes of thought about the Liverpool defence, which we'll get to later. But I completely understand the Virgil pick because did so well for defensive contributions last year. The good thing about him is that there is absolutely no risk of rotation with Virgil. So yeah. With Kerkez and with Frimpong, there are other players there, and we might see around the Champions League matches or around the League Cup or the FA Cup that we see some rotation around that Liverpool team, because now, what Liverpool are building this summer is a proper squad. Like, I'm not saying you didn't have a squad before.
Very exciting summer.
But you
Very
are...
Very exciting summer.
But you're building the proper squad now. So now there's real depth
now,
in every... Like, but I'm
proper
not being
squad before.
But Lee, I'm not being funny. Last season, like, it was only really at the end of last season that Connor Bradley really became an option other than Andy Robertson. And the same on the other side. Like, really, it's been Trent, with the occasional cameo from Tsimikas. Like,
you've got the left and the right back somewhere around there.
Do you know what? Oh, the other way around. But you know what? I've got the wrong way around. But you know what? The point still stands, right? The point is that you haven't really had that excellent player that can kind of come in. Whereas on the other side...
Champions, but yeah, okay.
You're so difficult. Whereas now, with the Frimpong position, you have got a viable alternative in Connor Bradley. So you might see some rotation there, whereas with Virgil just won't have that.
And I think the boys on the Above Average podcast, if you're not listening to them, go listen to them. They're absolutely essential listen for me every single week. Baker in particular did a really good piece about Virgil van Dijk and his clearances. When it comes to the CBIT rating, this thing we're going to talk about a lot this season, we're going to talk about clearances, blocks, interceptions and tackles. The things that get defenders and midfielders, we shouldn't forget that, and ball recoveries as well for midfielders, it takes on another dimension,
yeah,
right?
Another,
but for
yeah.
defenders, CBIT, clearances, blocks, interceptions, tackles, that is going to be part of the the FPL lexicon, but it's the C that Baker was saying on Above Average. It's the C, it's the clearances that makes the difference. The blocks, the interceptions and the tackles, you get two or three, maybe four or five of those a game, but the clearances make up the bulk of the CBIT rating.
Mm.
And when it comes to clearances, Virgil is standout from the teams towards the top of the league.
Right.
When you're talking about teams like the Man Cities and the Arsenals and that, they don't do a lot of clearances. Why? Because teams are not attacking them as much. They keep the ball better.
Mm.
And they play out from the back. Teams that like to play out from the back are not hoofing it. There's no hoof factor there. That's not Metro, by the way. Ex-hoof can't be a thing for next season.
Oh.
But there's no hoof in it. It's playing out from the back. It's pure. It's purest kind of Pep football, right? Mm. It's Pep ball. So the teams that like to play out from the back, they're not getting the defenders, the centre-halves are not getting their C value up in CBIT, and therefore they're not going to get the CBIT. Where Virgil is different is that if teams attack us down the flanks, and, you know, Trent got targeted a few times last season, you know, Robbo's legs got targeted a little bit, those crosses coming in, he heads it away, that's a clearance.
So I'm assuming that this is why also you've got Murillo next to Virgil then, because, again,
he's a beast.
Yeah, you've got that. They've got that ability to pick up massive points from defensive contributions. And we saw from Murillo last season, when you look at the table for what it actually finished like versus the adjusted points for what it could have finished like had defensive contributions came in. Murillo is one of the players that, like Tarkowski, is a standout for gaining the most.
Yes.
So do you have any concerns about the Nottingham Forest defence generally, though, going into this season? Because I don't know how I feel about Forest for this season. I must be honest.
Well, I hear you. I feel like they've lost Elanga to Newcastle.
Yeah.
It feels like, based on some of the reports we've seen, that Morgan Gibbs-White is going to stay.
Well, they've doubled down, haven't they?
Now,
they've got
so
him
they've
to
now
sign
signed
a new contract.
Him. He's now signed a contract, presumably with a clearer release clause.
Yeah, probably a massive one.
But defensively, they haven't lost anybody, I don't think. Right? They're still looking reasonably strong defensively.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't particularly love their fixtures to start the season.
Mm,
I don't.
Yeah.
Brentford
home game week one. I think that's swaying a lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't particularly. I think I have concerns around them and their ability to compete on two fronts in terms of European competition for this season. I think that concerns me. It's a relatively small squad.
Yeah.
And we say that in the past, we've seen it, right, with Brighton in the past when they've played in European competitions, that when you have players that don't really get a rest because they're playing Thursday night, Sunday for large waves of the season,
yeah,
that concerns me a little. And we saw Forest massively fall away at the back end of last season, and when I think the season kind of caught up with them a bit. I wonder whether that might happen sooner. Now, obviously, in the opening 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season, that's probably not going to be a thing, because the Champions League and Europa League and Conference League don't come in until, was it game week 6?
For a bit.
So you have got that bit of time, and maybe you're wildcarding anyway at that point. So I don't know. I feel like I don't love investing in the Forest defence for this season.
All right.
But I understand the pick on the defensive contributions thing.
All right, let's move on to midfield then. So the Chelsea boys, Palmer and João Pedro, I've got them in there because, well, with João Pedro, I particularly like his price point. I think 7.5 for João Pedro is a nice price point. And for sure, there's, you know, they've bought Delap as well. They've not bought him for no reason. Jackson is still at the club at time of recording. So they've got choices there. But in the same way that João Pedro was key for moving defenders around for Brighton, I think he'll be the same for Chelsea. So I do think he's a key player for them. Mm. I just
you see
have
that
this...
at Club World Cup as well, right?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. And I think one thing I should say probably, and take a step back from the actual players on the page here, is that what I have tried to do with this team is try to get to price points.
Yeah.
I've tried to make a structure of the team where between now and Game Week 1's kickoff on the 15th of August, I've got those price points to go into. And that's really what Palmer is.
Okay.
I'm not set on Palmer. I'm not set on João Pedro either, I don't think. Well, I just think...
Don't know what that noise was, by the way.
That's a great noise. That's a great João Pedro noise. I just think... we don't know, do we, with Chelsea going into the season? Like, because they've had the Club World Cup, and they've done brilliantly at the Club World Cup, they're all on holiday right now. And I look around, the other teams getting prepared. The training videos are starting to come on YouTube. You've got Man United and West Ham played out in a friendly last night.
They played at the Summer Series, aren't they?
They played at the Summer Series in a very hot climate. And, you know, you'd be forgiven for them looking really off of it. They weren't. I thought they both looked reasonably sharp. United in particular looked quite sharp. Bruno, a couple of goals, not to be, you know, that's not to be ignored.
No.
A quick shout out for Højlund, actually. For Højlund looked quite good last night. Looked quite sharp in that.
I don't think
setup.
Anyone said that but about Højlund since he arrived.
6.5 forward, I'm just saying. Yeah, just saying. Anyway.
That feels like a trap.
Because of all of that, I'm looking at Chelsea. They're all on the beach.
Yeah, but I'm not being funny, Lee. Like, they're
not going to be ready for game week one, are they?
They will.
Do you think?
They've done pre-season. Like, I know that they're in holiday mode at the moment, but their fitness level is so far above where everyone else is.
But it won't be because they've had 3 weeks on the beach.
See, I disagree. I think they'll go into the season in really good form. I think they will bring the form from the Club World Cup there. So I think they're due back.
I don't know.
I think they're due back, is it in about a week's time?
Yeah,
so
like
they'll
that,
be back into training, and then they go straight back into like full pre-season. It'll be like everyone else is still building up. They'll go back in fully. My concern for Chelsea actually isn't the start of the season. My concern for Chelsea is
later on, the
second half of the season. Because
yeah, you're probably right.
I don't think they've had enough rest. I think what they've done is they've continued on. So what's going to happen, I suspect, is like what we saw with players, and we have seen it in the past with players who've gone long in European competitions, is then that they have to readjust their mindset and then get back into it. And they're often given a bit of time to ease back in at the beginning of the season. Now, Chelsea don't have that because it's not an international competition, as in it's not like you've lost a couple of players and you can just play around them with the rest of your squad. This is the whole team, right? So they will have worked on a strategy that is, if we go this far in the competition, we're at full match fitness by the time the final ends. All they've got to do is hold that match fitness then for 3 weeks, and then they're back into it to the start of the season again. So actually, it's interesting that you say that they're not locked, because I looked at your draft and the thing I was most jealous about was the Palmer pick.
It's Palmer. Yeah. Yeah. Not locked for me, I have to say. I think that price point is locked.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of probably going to move it. I want to keep an eye on Saka, obviously. I think Arsenal making the Jokeres signing is big.
And I don't love their fixtures either, though. Apart from game week 2, that game against Leeds, it's lovely. The rest of their fixtures look a bit
correct.
Iffy.
And I think my Arsenal picks, and therefore the Saka versus Palmer, is largely going to be dependent on whether I bench boost or not in game week 1.
And have you made a decision on that? Based on this squad, it does not feel like a bench boost game week 1 squad.
Well, again,
it feels like it's nearly a bench boost squad.
Well, it's nearly there, because I think Konsa's, you know, if I look at the bench, Konsa will play. I think Lefebvre will play. Moreno is my 4.0 right now. Depends if he gets a move, doesn't it? If he gets a loan move, I think 4.0 and a regular starter. I don't know if he's a regular starter at Villa, right? But if he gets a move, potentially. Salah and Wirtz, we'll discuss those maybe in a minute. But outside of that, in my front line, Beto and Watkins. What do you think of Ollie Watkins as a pick? What are we saying?
I don't know.
Scored last night in a friendly.
Yeah, I know he did. I don't know how I feel about the Watkins pick. I'm really uncertain because last season was such a difficult year for Watkins, wasn't it? Coming off the back of the Euros that was a slow start. We all thought he was going to be, you know, when John Duran left, it was kind of like, right, well, there's going to be no real competition. It's going to be all about Watkins. But it really wasn't for most of the season. It was all about Morgan Rogers, actually, for the whole season. But even in that front line, even when you expected Watkins to play, he often didn't. And that was in part because he was playing Rashford or Asensio or other players. Yes. Now, all of those players have gone. They've ended their loan spells at Villa. So you would expect Watkins to go back to being number one. But I can't help but kind of wonder what's going on there, because he spent a lot of this summer being linked with moves away from the club. Like, there was a big wave of conversation around maybe him going to Arsenal. Now, clearly that's not going to happen with Gyökeres, but there was a whole conversation around that. So I don't know how I feel about the Watkins investment. I like the idea of having him because of, like you said at the beginning, that price point thing.
It's a bit price pointy. Yeah.
And I do think it's important because one of the things that we'll look at with mine in a minute is I don't have that luxury in my team right now. I don't have that price point player in the more expensive forward bracket. And that doesn't feel comfy, but I don't know that Watkins, I'm really loving that pick.
Yeah, well, that is why he's there. It's the price point pick. And Newcastle at home game, when I don't mind, it could be, depending on his price when he comes in, it could be Gyökeres if I don't go for Saka. It also is not quite as far a leap to go to Isak if you want to go for Isak. No, it's no Isak in this draft.
If Isak does make the move to become a red, would he be... Because at the moment you've got three Liverpool in there, Salah, Wirtz and Virgil. Would you...
Well, let's talk about Liverpool, but in the context of your team, because we spent too long on my team there. But there's two constants in there, right? Salah and Wirtz. Well, three actually, with Virgil van Dijk, who we've already discussed. Let's go to your team. You've labelled this your second draft, because of course you've been talking about first drafts on the FPL pod and other
places. Here's
an
exclusive second draft.
This is a kind of, a 2.0 draft for you, if you want. And there's your three Liverpool, Virgil, Salah and Wirtz. Let's discuss the Liverpool dynamic then. Virgil, we've discussed already, but Salah, Wirtz and then Isak as well, as you mentioned, if he ends up going to Liverpool. And we shouldn't talk about it too much because it is conceptual right now. But talk to me about Salah and Wirtz to start with.
So I didn't have three Liverpool in my first draft. Wirtz is a new addition, and also Virgil's a change because I had Gyökeres. I listened to, and you know, I always worry about myself when I listen to Az, because, you know, we know where we are with Az and his generational talents and all that stuff. But I don't know if you watch Black Box. But
of course.
On Black Box this week, he did a section on Liverpool defence. And his hype around Virgil made me go... And given I want to bench boost in game week one, the lack of potential worry around Virgil just makes me feel comfy. It's like putting on a comfy pair of slippers, picking Virgil.
Yeah.
Whereas
you've gone all Defcon, haven't you? Especially with Tarko in there as well.
I've always had him.
Do you think he's a good pick, Tarko?
I think on a bench boost strategy, he's a good pick, yes.
Yeah.
I think
people are going a bit mad for Tarko.
A bench boost game week one strategy, he's a good pick because he's got leads. They're going to take a lot of shots. He's going to do a lot of blocks, a lot of interceptions, a lot of clearances. So I think he will pick up two DEFCON points in game week one quite comfortably.
Okay.
I've gone for those three Liverpool, but I've completely ruled out Isak in Newcastle shirt.
In a Newcastle shirt. Well, his toys had come out of the pram, so yeah.
However, well, even before his toys came out of the pram, I was like, no, I don't need him. That's fine. However, if he pulls on a red jersey, then I think I'd rather have him over Wirtz.
Would you?
Yeah. Now, my issue with that is twofold. One, got fined 2 million.
Not insignificant.
Which is not insignificant because this team is like... I'm already struggling for budget because there's a lot of money, as you'll see on the bench. There's a fairly substantial amount of money there. So I'd have to do some shuffling.
This is a bench boost team, just for the avoidance of any doubt, right?
Yeah, it is a bench boost team. And actually, for the sake of the podcasters, there's a pair of rotating goalkeepers in Kelleher and Trafford. Trafford on the, we've had the here we go now, but on the assumption that he becomes number one.
At City.
If
he's going to happen, is Son going to leave?
Well, he was rumoured away last summer and it didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll just have to see. I mean, I don't think Trafford goes there to sit on a bench.
Okay, so Kelleher Trafford.
So Kelleher Trafford, then a back five of Virgil, Aitnori, Tarkowski, Kukureya.
Yeah, and Van de Ven.
And Van
mate.
De Ven. Na 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 na.
Of course,
Mickey
he's in there.
Van de Ven. Anyway, there you go. And then a midfield five of Salah and Wirtz, Cherky, more on him in a minute, Kudus and Caicedo.
Okay.
And then a front three, remaining front three still, of Solanke, note the ankle injury, so let's keep an eye on that.
Precautionary.
João Pedro and Beto. It was interesting that he was left out altogether, though, yesterday, because we played two friendlies on Saturday.
Yeah.
It wasn't part of either of them, which, so it's just, I think it is precautionary, but something to just be mindful of. Okay. So this is very much a bench boost squad of 15.
But we haven't, that Wirtz Isak thing, tell me more about that.
Well, my point of saying that is that I'm struggling to take 2 million from somewhere. But my concern, really, I guess, around Liverpool is that you are. I mean, I don't know where it's coming from, but this like just go out there and sign. I mean, it's phenomenal the signings
that
you've made.
Video,
it's
if you want us to talk to you about your financial planning for the last 3 or 4 years.
We don't want to talk about that. And we don't really want to talk about Liverpool too much more because we have talked about them a lot already.
It's okay to be jealous. No problem.
Excuse me. Have you seen the winner's badge on our sleeve?
Oh, God, please. Here we go.
Here we go.
There we go.
Where was I going? Yeah, so Frimpong, Kirkhead, Wirtz. Like you're...
So if Isak's a Liverpool player, you want him in your team. You just haven't got 2 million.
I just don't know how I'm finding the 2 million. So there'll have to be some sacrifices and some compromises. I mean, I guess the compromise is that Wirtz would become a 6.5 and that would give me...
I've been watching some of him in some of the pre-season stuff and
Who,
in
Wirtz?
The friendlies and stuff. We're going to have some fun with this fella.
Yeah, yeah, I like him a lot.
We are going to have some fun with this fella. I think at 10.5, I think Isak is a good pick, Liverpool or Newcastle, by the way. He's a great pick and he's one of the best players in the game. So 10.5, fine, right? At Liverpool, we won't have the pens and all the rest of it if he goes there. But Wirtz at 8.5, we're going to have some fun with this fella. I noticed actually that he's still wearing the number 58 shirt for Liverpool in training and in some of the matches. My suspicion is that if Diaz leaves, he might get the 7.
Okay.
I think.
Well, Diaz and Darwin both left out of your last matchday squad in pre-season, suggesting
moves
away.
And both have got quite big numbers, 7 and 9.
Yeah,
and I get the feeling Wirtz is going to have one of them, probably.
And then Isak the other,
because he's not going to. I can't see him having 58, unless someone's going to tell me that 58 is a Wirtz number, right? But I don't think.
I don't think so. So yeah, there's a few things that remain the same here, but Wirtz was one. In order to find the money to get to Wirtz, I've taken Brennan Johnson to Kudus. I'm still very much here and there on which Spurs midfielder I fancy going
Notice
in.
Notice in the pre-season friendly yesterday or the day before,
yesterday.
We put Kudus right and he accommodated Brennan by putting Brennan left.
Brennan should not be underestimated how valued Brennan always is by the managers at Spurs. Like, he's a really good player and I know that he gets a lot of...
Coming off the left? Has he played there before?
Yes, he has. So he plays right and left.
Okay.
But predominantly he's been on the right because, of course... Most of the time, Son's on the left. Now,
yes.
Son is increasingly being linked with a move away from the club. We've had an offer from LAFC for him. So he will go. But as I've said before on our videos, he is contractually obliged to play with us on the 4th of August in our friendly out in South Korea. So that's really important that obviously he stays, otherwise we lose a lot of financial money from that. So he will stay for that. I suspect he will then go. Now, then the question is, how does the rest of the front line set up? Now, Kulusevski's not going to be ready for pre-season, so that's one less player to be concerned with. James Maddison is now back in full training, but hasn't been part of pre-season yet. So obviously, he'll probably play in the 10 to start the season.
Okay.
So I suspect then we'll have Brennan, Kudus and Solanke as our front three.
Kudus is a nice pick. I can see him in a lot of teams, no doubt about it. Finish us off by talking about Cherky, though. This is the one... Talk about risk. You've got Kudus at a new club, Wirtz new to the league, Aitnori at a new club, João Pedro at a new club, Cherky new to... There's too much risk in this team, Sam. Too many unknowns in this team for a bench boost.
Take your safety blanket off, Lee.
Too many.
Engage
a high
with the fun.
Risk team here. Look
what?
At this.
You don't win FPL by just playing it safe. My aim is to go chip, chip, be winning it by game week 3.
Chip, chip, win by 3. Turkey then. Chip away at Turkey. God, what's going
on with
him?
Turkey. I wanted a Man City forward player. Fine. I wanted an attacking Man City player.
What even price is he? I haven't even looked at
him. He's uber cheap. That's the point. Like 6.5. Right.
Well, there's got to be a reason for that.
They've massively underpriced him.
Have they?
Well, potentially.
Right.
I think so. I mean, I think there's two ways to look at this. Like, I actually think he genuinely could be the Morgan Rodgers of this season.
Please. Just really? Saying.
Going early. What if he's the Cole Palmer of the year before? What if he's the Morgan Rodgers of last year? Like, I'm not sure.
I'm not saying he's not, but I don't know enough about him. You know more about him than I do, obviously.
I just think...
So much so you vice-captained him in your draft here, by the way. I've noticed.
I just haven't moved the band. Although, to be fair, in my actual team I've set up, I've got the captaincy on Beto. And the
Salah doesn't show up in game week one for whatever reason. Turkey for the win.
Can you imagine if Salah doesn't show up in game week one when we're all at Fest watching him? That'd be a disaster. Yeah, look, so I had Marmoush in that position in my original draft.
He's the one, yeah.
I've called on the Marmoush pick massively since I picked him.
Okay.
I just have some major concerns around the
pick. Too expensive or?
No, I have concerns about minutes.
Oh,
around
okay.
Because of the players that they've signed and the way that they've built the squad now, I have concerns about how many minutes he'll get, what position he's going to play on the pitch, the rotation that we probably are going to see in those positions. Okay. And at 8.5, that's a lot for a rotation risk. Whereas at 6.5, Cherky is obviously significantly cheaper. The next 3 weeks of preseason are going to be really telling. So what Pep decides to do with his team over the coming weeks and how Man City set up will be massively important for me in terms of deciding which Man City player. Cherky's there at the minute because he's enabled the Verts pick and everything else that I've changed in the squad. But ideally, I just want to make sure that I don't have a rotation risk going into game week one. The last thing I want is somebody who doesn't start game week one.
You definitely don't want a rotation risk. So absolutely you should pick 6.5 million Turkey and Pep's Man City. I mean, what are you talking about?
Well, no, but the point is, I think, is that I want a Man City player.
I don't want a rotation risk. You pick Turkey.
You were talking about price point players and I totally agree with everything you've
just
said.
He could easily just stick Delap in there, game week one. You've got Ait Nouri, he could easily just stick Vardio out there. You've got Kudus, he could just put Brennan there.
But he won't.
I don't want any rotation. It's too risky, this team.
You're such an absolute loser.
It's too risky.
You are an absolute loser. You think it's risky because you're Mr. Boring.
You want to play it safe.
You want to play it safe.
You want to play it safe.
You are boring.
Game week one,
that squad, too boring. Too boring. Bland, too vanilla.
Hey, listen, you
want a bit of chocolate chip in your life.
I like that we've got difference. I like that I'm thinking a bit more template. I like that you're thinking
Yawn.
Turkey and game week one bench boost and free it too. And I like that we're thinking very differently.
Mm.
I like that DEFCON is making us as a community think differently as well. That's what I like about DEFCON. I personally, apart from the AFCON thing, we'll glaze over that, the changes that FPL have made and the prices, I think they've got it spot on. I think there's very few. Usually we'll do a whole section of this video in what prices have they got wrong?
Don't say
too much. Turkey. Turkey is what you've got wrong, FPL Towers. Guys, if you're new to FPL family, we'd love you to go check out our Patreon, FPL Patreon, www.patreon.com/FPL family. All the links are in the description below. If you want to support the channel, you can do a number of things. You can like and subscribe the video for absolutely free. We'd love you to do that. But also, you can go follow us at Patreon. We have a free tier as well in Patreon where you can get our Ohana podcast. We usually, last season and the season before, you needed to be in at least the $3 tier to get the Ohana podcast. But this year, you can be in the free tier. Go to Patreon, just sign up on a Patreon account and just follow us on Patreon and you'll get access to our Game Week Preview Ohana podcast for free every single week. And then if you want to join us at other tiers, you can decide that as you go along. Maybe you listen to an Ohana podcast and you think, actually, that's quite good. I'll go and support the channel at a bit of a higher level.
They're quite funny usually, our
Maybe
Ohanas.
Listen to it and go, it's complete guff. I don't want to do anything other than just listen to this free podcast. But either way, patreon.com/FPL family is where you can find other stuff, some goodness from the FPL family to come and join in the fun. That's it, Sam. You need to go and look at your risky team.
Do you know what?
You need to go and take a leaf. You need to go take a little bit of a leaf out of the boring book and be a little bit more template for game week one.
You need a bit more colour in your life. You should stop being so bland. Make some fun picks.
From boring me to Exciting Sam. That's it, guys. Like, subscribe to this video. We'll be back with another video next week looking at how our drafts have evolved. Am I going to be a bit more risky? Am I a bit template, guys? Get in the comment. Am I a bit boring? Is my draft a bit boring? Is Sam's and is Cherky actually going to be a pick? I don't want a rotation pick, but I've gone for Cherky. Get in the comments, guys, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.
Bye, guys.